This is a Playhouse 90. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, the makers of Philips tablets, Insto eye drops, and Stern's Pine Tar and Honey bring you the week's finest entertainment, Playhouse 90. This week, Playhouse 90 presents Those in Peril by John Tarrant. All too unhappily, the hijacking of aeroplanes has become an almost daily occurrence. John Tarrant's gripping radio play, Those in Peril, deals with another kind of hijacking. For it tells of how a retired naval commander and his friend set out one early morning to board the commander's yacht, the Vanessa. Once aboard the craft, they had a surprise awaiting them. It was in the nature of a man named Skelly and his girlfriend. They had attacked and killed the owner of a petrol filling station and made their escape with a considerable sum of money in a stolen car, and then in the cover of darkness, they rowed across and commandeered the Vanessa. What happens when the commander and his friend are pressed at the point of a gun into acting as crew makes for exciting and gripping listening. Set in the waters of Northern Ireland, John Tarrant's radio play has been produced for Playhouse 90 by Michael Silver.
Here's another on-the-spot Philips tablets interview. Listen to this.
Excuse me, madam. I notice you've just selected a bottle of Philips tablets from the shelf there. Would you mind telling me why you're buying them?
In our home, we like highly spiced meals. In fact, it's got to the stage when we very seldom have ordinary plain cooking. And everything is highly spiced. And consequently, sometimes one suffers, to say the least. And then one needs Philips tablets in the home for the relief that they bring after these rather exotic meals.
Do you know, I know that feeling.
Yes, one almost has a food hangover. It's a burning feeling in the stomach.
I see. And so then what do you do?
Well, then the first thing we do is raid the Philips tablets before we go to bed, and the relief is almost instant.
Yes, always keep Philips tablets handy. Remember, for on-the-spot relief from indigestion, you can't beat Philips tablets.
About. If we keep rowing at this speed, the tide's running out fast. She'll be sitting in the mud in 20 minutes.
We can pump her dry when we're underway. Oh, what a time to set off.
It's your fault now. Must be in the beer talking.
Yeah.
The forecast isn't all that good, and if we'd waited a couple of days...
Can't waste these 5 days. We don't often get good sailing weather so early in the season.
Good sailing weather?
Cheer up, man. We'll get a breeze to blow the mist away at sunrise. Ah, here's Vanessa. She looks black in this light. Easy does it. Now, let's have the painter. Yeah, and now the rest of the gear. Come on.
Go steady with that duffel bag. It's got the bottles in.
First things first. Put away. Now, pass yours.
Right.
We haven't got a lot of time. Better motor out straight away and get everything shipshape when there's a few fathoms of water under her keel.
Okay. Will you see to the Balmore, and will I switch on the navigation lights and get the engine going?
Aye, aye. Comes in useful, the old iron topsail at a time like this.
True, true.
It's black as ink down here. Where did they leave the torch? Starboard locker.
Is this what you're looking for?
What on earth is that?
You've got yourself some passengers, Captain. But don't start a song and dance about it. Do you see this?
I can't see anything with that damn torch in my eyes. What have you got there?
A gun? Pointing straight at your guts. So keep your voice down.
How did you get aboard? What do you want?
We walked out at low tide without getting our feet wet.
We?
Thelma, nip up and see what the other one is doing. Don't get between me and the owner, just in case he tries to be clever.
Okay.
Oh, my saints. A female stowaway.
He's right up in the bows. Hasn't heard a thing.
Good. You came down to start the engine, Captain. But I think we'll try to slip away without waking half the country. Up you go, and don't forget.
What is this? Piracy?
Something like that. Now call your crew aft and no tricks. Do you hear what I said?
George!
Aye.
Give me a hand here, will you?
Right. Ready to cast off for it. Aye, George. Who the devil's that?
A couple of young pirates. One of them's waving a pistol about, so take it easy.
That's very good advice, George. Just do as you're told and nobody will get hurt.
Hurt, Harpy? What are you trying to do?
The idea is to put to sea quickly and quietly before the tide runs out of this harbor. So while the captain here goes forward to bend on the jib, you can get started on the main. Give them a hand, Thelma. Take the other torch.
What shall I do?
Nip down to the cabin and bring up the natins. Then help George to get the tears off the mansel. You two, you heard what I said. Now get started.
Why don't you use the engine, mister?
Don't ask me a lot of silly questions. We're going out with no lights showing and under sail.
Is this what you wanted?
Aye. George will show you how to lace them in. Now get a move on. The sky is getting lighter there in the east.
Yes, so am I.
Let's go for it. Thelma, come aft here and stand by that stern mooring. I'm going out on the port tack. All right, you two. Haul away. Now, let go, Thelma. Now, haul on that jib sheet and make it fast. That's more like it.
George, come and put your weight on the boom. That's got her. Now the leashing.
You're not going to let him get away with this, are you?
Not in your life. I don't want a bullet in the belly. I don't want to damage the boat. If it gets a bit lighter, we might have a chance to jump.
All right, break it up and come forward.
Aye, aye, Captain. Come on, George. We're shipping before the mast this trip.
I'd like to get my hands on that young puppy. I teach him to play at pirates.
I must say, he seems to know his way around.
He's holding his tack too long. We're getting very close to the Scotchman.
Hell's bells. I can't let him go ahead with that.
Ready about.
Nicely timed. Must have sailed here many a day before. Look out, George. You're standing on the jib sheet.
Lee-o.
Well, that gives him a clear run to the open sea. It's comforting to feel that the new management is fairly competent.
New management? I'd like to wring his scraggy neck.
Later, George, later. In the meantime, let's get the foredeck tidied up and wait to see what good things the dawn will bring.
Thelma, did you get the radio?
Yes, here.
Good. See if you can pick up a weather report. I'd like to know what we're likely to run into. It can't be far up 5:30 now, till they start on the weather. I keep the volume down. I can't see very much, so I'm having to use my ear.
Isn't it dangerous, blinding along in the fog like this?
It's only a bit of mist. In fact, it's lifting already. I'd like to be well away by the time it's clear. Now brace up with that weather report.
Okay. Here.
The colder and drier weather to reach Northern Ireland and Wales.
Just caught the end of it.
The forecast for tomorrow and Wednesday is of a brighter, showery weather all over the British Isles, and fresh northwesterly winds bringing temperatures to a little below the seasonal average. Now, before we take you over to breakfast special, here is a police message.
Had enough?
No, leave us.
Shortly before 10 o'clock last night, the owner of a petrol filling station in Ballinahinth, County Down, was attacked and severely injured by two masked raiders, one of whom was believed to be a woman. The thieves were interrupted, but succeeded in making their escape with a considerable sum of money using a stolen car, a blue Klein 2000, registered number AMN101C. Motorists in Northern Ireland are asked to inform the nearest branch of the Royal Ulster Constabulary immediately if they have any information about this car or its occupants. But members of the public are warned to avoid tackling the criminals who are known to be carrying firearms. Another message has just come in. The injured man died in hospital at 4 o'clock this morning. His attackers are therefore wanted for...
I told you not to hit him too hard.
I didn't mean to hit him at all, but the silly old git made a dive for the door. I can't understand why you croaked. You must have had a thin skull or a weak heart or something.
Now the whole country will be looking for us.
I'll certainly be looking for a man and a woman, but that gives him half a million of each to choose from. There are no descriptions, thanks to you and your manners.
How about the car?
Ah, now you know why I was so fussy about the plates and the license, and why I made straight for the sea. We wouldn't have got 50 miles by road in daylight.
Oh, I feel sort of... small and helpless out here. The sea's too big and cold and empty. We could have ditched the car in the city and knocked off another one.
Every time you knocked off a car, somebody goes squealing to the police and out goes the number and description.
And what about when you go for a sail in somebody else's boat?
Well, now that we've got a bit of sea room, let's just check up on that point, shall we? Killip, I'd like to have a word with you.
I see you know my name.
You've left enough letters lying about the cabin. Commander L.C. Killip, R.N.
I'm glad you made yourself at home.
Did you hear that broadcast?
Some of it.
Enough to get into your nut that I won't be slow to use a gun if I have to.
I realized that as soon as I saw you.
All right, then. Now you know what you're up against, let's have some of the background. You made a very early start this morning. When are you expected back?
10 days to a fortnight.
Are you trying to take the mickey?
Not at all. I'm telling you the truth.
Where were you planning to go?
Port St. Mary, Isle of Man.
The Isle of Man? Why?
George Brightson's wife and my sister went there for a week's holiday last Saturday. We were going across to join them.
Thelma, have a look in those bags they humped aboard. They're on the bunks in the cabin.
Okay.
10 days to a fortnight before they start getting curious. If you're telling the truth, that could be a bit of luck. On the other hand, if you don't turn up in the Isle of Man sometime tomorrow... Have you worked out your course?
Not yet. At least, not exactly.
Yeah, I'd say southeast by south after we clear Skelmartin Light, at a rough guess.
Something like that.
That'll do for a start. We don't want anybody ashore to see us heading in the wrong direction, do we? We can always set a new course when we're out of sight of land.
Food, drink, and oilskins, mainly drink. But there's fresh bread, butter, and plenty of tin stuff.
Where are your clothes? You're not going to wear those rags for a fortnight.
We sent them on to the hotel luggage in advance. Forecast was a bit dodgy.
Well, that checks. Anyway, the food problem is nicely solved.
Is that why you didn't take her out before we came aboard? No rations?
You think I'm a fool? Would you take a 5-tonner you'd never seen before out through narrow waters at night without using the engine? I wanted a few hours of daylight to find my way around. If you hadn't come blundering aboard, we could have lain here quietly all day and slipped away after dark tonight.
If you'd chosen almost any other boat in the harbour, it would have worked out like that. The owner's only come down a weekend.
Don't rot in. What have you got to drive her?
Super Watkin diesel.
How fast will it push her along?
4 knots, maybe 5.
How much fuel are you carrying?
Enough for about 24 hours motoring if you don't push her.
You can start up and show me her paces in a minute or two. Where do you keep your charts?
In the locker under the cabin table.
See if you can find them, Thelma.
Do you mind telling me where you're taking us?
I'll tell you one thing, and you can pass it on to your shipmate. the less you know about us, where we come from, where we're going, what we look like and how we're dressed, the better chance you've got of seeing your families one of these days in Portsmouth. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly.
Well, just explain that to old laughing boy up there in the bows and stay forward until I'm ready for one of you to start the engine.
I found the chart.
Bring him up and you can have your first lesson in sailing and navigation.
What's that?
A ship, and it's heading straight for us.
What do you expect in weather like this? We're not carrying any lights.
Hadn't you better show some lights? They might steam right into us.
There'll be no lights. What's that? That's the answer. Here, hand me that foghorn.
It's over there. Just hanging by the starboard bunk.
Well, hurry for Pete's sake.
I've got it.
If only I knew where that noise came from.
Here's the foghorn. That noise seems all around us.
No. No, it's come from straight ahead. Can't see any lights. Let's give him a signal in return. Port tack, two blasts then.
Well, I never hear that over the noise of the sea. Dan, switch some lights on or turn around or something before they run us down. We'll all be killed, please.
Shut up and listen.
It's coming closer. Oh, Dan, we're going to run straight into it.
I told you to shut up. Killip, can you see anything from the pulpit?
Not a thing. The switch for our navigation lights is on the bulkhead amidships.
All right, Thelma. I'll have to take the risk of being recognized. Go below and switch them on.
There's her masthead light. Find on the starboard bow.
Oh, which way is she steering?
Red. I can see red. She's crossing your bows. Heave to, man, or you'll run straight into her. Heave to, I say.
Ahoy!
Stinking fools. Are you all right, Thelma?
I suppose so. The switch. The light switch. I couldn't find it.
Don't worry. We're all right now. We don't need the rotten lights. Now, what filthy stinking luck. Passing the ship as close as that outside the shipping lanes.
Dan, please show some lights now. We're nearly after been smashed to pieces.
No, we've got to slip away from here without being seen.
But that ship, I heard a man shouting.
Yes, I'm afraid somebody on that rotten hulk caught sight of us.
What happens now?
Well, how do I know? Some dozy lookout spotted us at the last minute, so what? I don't think he could see clear enough to pick out the registration number on the mainsail.
But they might report what happened just now.
I suppose it'll go into the log. That's not my worry, Thel. The trouble is that sooner or later, somebody's going to wake up to the fact that this tub hasn't sailed into Port St. Mary, and then there'll be a general search. The less they have to go on, the longer it'll take them to find her.
If only we could get clear of this lousy fog. I hate this rotten, wet, slimy...
Steady, Thelma, steady. All on that port jib sheet. Hold it. Good. Head's coming around. Give me a hand to get her back on course. Now, I wonder what the cops are doing.
Bangor Police?
This is Kern Donaghadee. Can I speak to Sergeant Burnside, please?
Burnside speaking. How are you, Michael?
I'm in grand form, considering the time of day.
Well, by this and by that, I've not had my breakfast yet.
You know the BBC was putting out a police message about the hold-up in Ballyhinch on the 6 o'clock news?
Yes, what about it?
A car like the one that was stolen, a blue 2-litre Klein, it was left in an old quarry near here last night. It might never have been noticed if Tim O'Meara hadn't been up there at sunrise looking at his sheep.
How about the number? Is it the same car?
Well, the number plates and the license have all been taken off, but I wrote down the chassis number. Now where did I put it?
Come on, man, come on.
We are 629 FAU 1124.
1124. I'll check on that right away. But if this is the car they stole, why would they take it to Donaghadee?
Now, I was asking myself that same question.
And what did you get for an answer?
I thought that if those two that we're after came from the city, they might be planning to lie up in a cottage somewhere quiet and out of the way. Well, in a place the size of this, for instance, that means I'll be hearing about it in no time at all.
They could be daft enough to try it, I suppose. But even so, why would they drive into a battle like this with all Ulster to hide in?
I was asking myself about that, too.
All right, let's hear. I've nothing else to do except be eating my breakfast.
It's a bit early in the season, but we've already got more than a dozen boats lying in the harbour. Some of the bigger ones have got proper cabins and bunks and galleys where a man could make himself very snug while he was on the run.
Until the owners come aboard.
Well, most of them are weekend sailors. They drive down on Friday and go back on Monday morning. If he chose the right boat last night, he could reckon on 3 days undisturbed.
True enough. How long will it take you to search everything in the harbour?
If we get a move on, we can walk out to most of the bigger craft at this state of the tide. Give me an hour and a half from now.
All right. When you get to the yacht club, try to find out if any boat, big or small, put to sea during the night. When was high tide?
Just after 2. There's usually enough water to float the bigger craft for a couple of hours on either side of that.
And that would give them from about midnight last night to 4 this morning.
Depending on the size of the boat and where she was moored exactly, of course.
True. All right, ring back as soon as you know for sure. And Michael, don't be sticking your neck out. If you do find these people, remember that one man has been killed already. They've got nothing to lose, and I don't want my sister a widow.
Oh, man, neither do I. Neither do I.
Bloodshot they are. Mind you, after last night, I'm not surprised.
You know that feeling when your eyes have taken a beating? They feel sore and tired, and they look the way they feel. Red and unattractive. But just 2 drops of Insto, and in seconds, your eyes feel wonderfully cool and refreshed. Don't take your eyes for granted. Protect them with Insto Eye Drops.
Quiet! You should go and see a doctor.
You can't take every cough to a doctor, but you can take Stern's Pine Tar and Honey. Stern's Pine Tar and Honey is a scientific blend of the finest natural ingredients which brings soothing relief to troublesome and disturbing coughs. Stern's Pine Tar and Honey, made like a doctor's prescription.
He might get a chance in a minute or two if he decides to use the engine. He'll have to let one of us leave below to swing a starting handle.
It ought to be easier in daylight. I doubt if either of them got any sleep last night.
Very little, I should think. Sooner or later, they're going to get drowsy.
The girl might even be seasick with a bit of luck. The wind's rising. I reckon if we play it nice and quietly, they might get careless as the days wear on.
Well, I hope you're right. I wish I knew where it was going.
Why, what difference does that make?
Well, you heard the radio. He's killed one man already. Wherever he lands, he's not going to leave a couple of witnesses behind to raise the alarm. When he's quite sure he doesn't need any more help with the sails or the engine, our company will be no longer be required.
2 more murders.
The point is, if he's steering for England, he won't risk crossing the Irish Sea with only the girl to help him. But he obviously knows these coastal waters very well. If he starts to make for some little cove not very far from here, we might have to move fast.
All right, Killip, let's try out your motor. George, you go right forward to the pulpit and sit down. Thelma, you go into the cabin as far forward as you can get.
Why?
You'll see why in a minute.
If you want me to try the motor, I'll have to have that board lifted.
Lift it then and put it down slowly. Quick movements make me nervous. I wouldn't try it if I were you.
Now that's better. Just let me see you turn that lever to the starting position again.
Yeah.
All right, I got it. Now what?
The starting handle is just inside the cabin.
Go and swing it then, but don't forget to let go. Thelma, get well forward to starboard. If he tries to be clever, put a bullet in his back. I won't be in the line of fire. What next?
Now this goes to the running position, and that's a lot. Throttle lever's here.
Now let's go up. Let's have that board back. No, on second thoughts, I'll do it myself. George, I told you to stay forward. One more step and you'll be poisoning the fish.
All right.
Dan, there's a horrible smell of oil. I'm beginning to feel sick. Can't I come out of here?
Yes, in half a minute. Killip, what do you carry for seasickness?
Nothing, except rum.
All right, get forward. You can come out now, Thelma. Stand here and get some air on your face.
The waves seem to be getting bigger. Is it going to be very rough?
Don't worry, Thel. It's just the tide, mostly. When we double the point of air, she'll ride a lot easier. Now, look, I may have to ask you to take the helm for a few minutes from time to time while I look at the chart.
Me?
Now, come here and get the feel of it.
Oh, couldn't one of those two do it instead? I feel awful.
I wouldn't trust either of them further than I could spit. Besides, if you've got a job to do, it'll take your mind off things. Now, just watch these sails for a minute. When you see them begin to shiver like this... You're sailing too close to the wind. Now let her head fall away. Like that, but not too far.
Is it safe when it leans over like that?
Oh, she won't come to any harm. Now go on, try. You'll soon get the hang of it. Brace yourself over here on the weather side.
You're carrying too much canvas for this wind.
Now what have you two been cooking up now?
Nothing. But you ride a lot easier in the storm jib with a couple of reefs in the mainsail.
Now you can bend on the storm jib if you like. Leave the reefing until later.
Yeah. Come on, George. Let go of the jib halyard while I haul her in and stow away. I think we're in for a bit of a blow.
Position for you. Thelma, I'd like you to hear this.
I'm listening.
And so am I. What's your proposition?
Your boat is too small for this sort of cat and mouse game. If we're going to be cooped up together for some time, we might as well make ourselves comfortable. Unless, of course, you want to spend all your time squatting before the mast without food or shelter.
I don't. Well, what have you got in mind?
If you and George give me your word that you'll work the ship the way I want it, without trying to slip anything across me, you can use the cabin and the galley, take your share of the rations, and stand watch until we make port.
You're trying to put us on parole, is that it?
Yes, that's the word. Parole.
What are you offering in exchange?
I told you, you can have the run of the ship.
And at the end of the voyage, when you've made your landfall,
you get your property back undamaged. You can sail away provided you promise to steer for the Isle of Man and keep your mouth shut when you get there.
You take our word for that?
Yeah, why not? Supposed to be a naval officer, aren't you? You've got your Queen's regulations and Admiralty instructions and some sort of reputation. After all, you're not like me. You're a gentleman. A man of honor.
Are you asking me to trust you? To believe that when you're safely ashore, you'll push off and leave behind two witnesses who might start the hunt for you all over again?
Why not? If I'm trusting you to take your trick at the helm...
That's not quite the same thing, is it? You've got to have at least one pair of skilled hands helping you sail the boat. By the look of you, you'll be going to sleep at your feet very shortly. But once you're running into a quiet haven somewhere in England...
So you won't play ball?
I don't think I can, as you said yourself. I've got some sort of a code to hang on to. Forgive you, my word, I will have to keep it. But what do you believe in? From what I've seen and heard so far, you make your own rules as you go along. Anything you happen to want, you take. Anybody who stands in your way gets trampled on.
You're standing in my way right now, Killip.
But I've got something you can't take by force. or you wouldn't be talking. That's the snag about your way of doing business. It's all right when you're a cock of your own little dunghill, but as soon as you have to rely on other people's cooperation, well, your methods don't exactly inspire confidence, do they?
You know, I believe you're wrong about me needing a skilled crew. I reckon I could handle her by myself from now on, if I had to. Thelma will soon get the hang of things, and then we can manage without you and your half-section there. Ah, I think you've made a bit of a mistake turning down a perfectly fair offer like that. You might live long enough to regret it.
Don, I'm not sure that I could...
What was that?
Sounded like a fuel shortage.
You said there was enough oil aboard for 24 hours motoring. If you've been trying to slip something across me, Killip...
I haven't slipped anything across you. There's a full reserve tank under your feet. Every couple of hours, you have to pump a gallon or two up to the gravity feed in the engine compartment.
You'd better not try. All right, get pumping then before it dies on us.
I thought you said you could handle her by yourself from now on. Why don't you get your friend Thelma to do the pumping?
Don't try to be clever, Killip. Just get on with the job. And while you're at it, you can show me the reserve tank and the dipstick. I want to check the oil level myself. From now on, we're going to keep our eyes on everything you do. Do you hear that, Thelma? In future, we take nothing on trust. Nothing at all.
Have you ever taken anything on trust in your life?
Don't go at me too far. You carry on with your pumping.
Oh, Dan. I wonder what they're doing on the mainland.
Here's another on-the-spot Phillips Tablets interview. Listen to this.
Excuse me, madam. I notice you've just selected a bottle of Phillips Tablets from the shelf there. Would you mind telling me why you're buying them?
In our home, we like highly spiced meals. In fact, it's got to the stage when we very seldom have ordinary plain cooking. And everything is highly spiced. And consequently, sometimes one suffers, to say the least. And then one needs Phillips Tablets in the home for the relief that they bring after these rather exotic meals.
Do you know, I know that feeling.
Yes, one almost has a food hangover. It's a burning feeling in the stomach.
I see. And so then what do you do?
Well, then the first thing we do is raid the Phillips tablets before we go to bed, and the relief is almost instant.
Yes, always keep Phillips tablets handy. Remember, for on-the-spot relief from indigestion, you can't beat Phillips tablets.
This is Curran Donaghadee.
Constable Curran Donaghadee, indeed. Why aren't you out and about? You think we'll catch the killers with you sitting on your lump at Donaghadee substation?
Yeah, but Sergeant...
Now listen to me, Michael. You'll have to jump about a bit. You got a couple of murders on your hands.
Yeah, I know, Sergeant, I know.
My telephone has never stopped ringing since I reported that you found that stolen car. The head constable and a couple of patrol cars are already on their way. The head constable is convinced that the killers are still somewhere in your area. Did you check up and see if anything sailed during the night?
Yes, Sergeant, I did.
Well?
Well, there's one boat that needs investigating.
Oh, there is? What boat?
A 5-ton cabin cruiser named Vanessa.
Vanessa? And who does she belong to?
Commander Killip, a retired naval officer. He and his friends were planning to sail across to the Isle of Man.
Uh-huh, go on.
Well, Sergeant, the Vanessa was there last night and she's gone this morning.
With the owner aboard?
I don't know, Sergeant. But nobody saw or heard them go during the night. They must have caught the morning tide.
I see. Have you tried their homes?
Yes, Sergeant. They're both locked up.
What about the neighbors?
Well, the neighbors say that the women folk went across by air from Aldergrove on Saturday, leaving the men to follow in the boat.
Now, there may be nothing to it, but it'll have to be checked. Have you got their holiday address?
Just a minute. Here it is. It's the Ballyvale Hotel, Port St. Mary. That's B-A-L...
All right, Michael, I've got the name. So that's two empty houses where the killers could be hiding?
You think...
Let's get with it, Michael. Now, what about the rest of the boarding houses? Will there be many unoccupied premises at this time of the year?
Oh, no, Sergeant. All the boarding houses and hotels are beginning to open for the season, but some of the sailing people have cottages that are still locked up.
Right, you check them. And check that naval commander's place and his friends.
Right, Sergeant.
Now, don't do anything on your own. Be careful. Oh, by the way, what about that camping site? You'd better take a look at the caravans.
I will. How long do you think it is before the head constable will be down?
It should be an hour or two. And while you're waiting, just get word round to the tradespeople, the baker, the milkman, the postman, the lot. Tell them to keep their eyes open and report at once if they see anything suspicious. Maybe somebody will be buying extra food. These people have got to eat.
Yes, Sergeant.
Oh, by the way, Michael, have you spoken to the Coast Guard about the naval commander's vessel? What was it called again?
The Vanessa. No, I haven't, not yet.
Well, don't for the time being. Leave that to me. I shall want a description of her.
Yeah, I've got it here in front of me.
Okay, shoot.
She's a sloop-rigged four-berth cruiser, hull painted blue, upper works white. Overall length about 24 feet with an 8-foot beam. She carries four sails, main, genoa, jib, and storm jib, and a Super Watkin diesel engine. Inboard, of course.
You've got that off rather pat, Michael.
Well, Sergeant, I'm reading it from the Yacht Club Brigetta News.
Sloop. Four berths. 24.
Oh, excuse me a minute, Sergeant. Constable Terry's just walked in. He's got a message.
Thanks.
Now, I wonder what... Well, now, that's interesting. Are you still there, Sergeant?
Of course I am, Michael. Where do you think I'd be?
Vanessa's dinghy's just been found drifting off New Island.
Vanessa's dinghy, has it indeed? Now, that's very interesting. And where would you expect it to be this morning?
Well, if Commander Killip was just going out for a day at the fishing, he'd leave it tied to his moorings here.
But if he was sailing for a holiday in the Isle of Man?
He'd take it with him. Towing, of course.
The painter could have slipped off by the cleat by accident.
Oh, I can't see that happening to Killip. He's as pusser as they come. No, I bet you there's something funny going on when Vanessa sailed this morning.
It'd be dark, eh?
Aye, a bit of a struggle, maybe. Or Killip might even have let the painter go deliberately to draw attention to his boat.
Right. Leave Vanessa and the Coast Guard to me. You go down and see if the dinghy tells you anything else. Then report to the head constable as soon as he gets there. And remember, Michael, don't get yourself shot.
Of the compass. Where do you think he's making for?
I reckon he's been steering just about due east since we lost sight of land.
Due east? Where will that take us?
Oh, somewhere in Cumberland, Whitehaven or Maryport. I've been trying to remember if we're likely to meet any shipping lanes in daylight.
Not likely, man. Not cross-channel traffic, anyway. The Stranraer Larne route is well away to the north.
Yeah, and Larry to Holyhead, too far south. Yes, you never know. There's always traffic between Belfast and Heysham. Or the big stuff sailing into or out of Liverpool.
That won't help. You'll get plenty of warning. We'll be herded below with a gun in our ribs as soon as he sees smoke. Why the devil did he have to choose Vanessa?
Because he knows a taut ship when he sees one. What I can't understand is why he chose to go to Donaghadee in the first place.
I've been thinking about that. Notice how he took us out to the harbour in the dark. He must know those waters like the back of his hand.
You think he's a local boy?
If he is, I don't know him. I've lived there all my life, and I've been messing about in boats since I was big enough to crawl over a gunwale. What does the girl call him? Don?
Yeah. And the girl's name is Thelma. Mean anything?
Don. Donald. Wait a minute. A boy from one of the villages. Carador, was it, or Ballywalter? One who joined the Navy straight from school and was dishonorably discharged a few years ago. Of course, Donald Scally was his name, Scally.
Oh, must have been before my time.
He's changed a lot in the last 10 years. I used to see him every day. He almost lived in the harbor when he was a kid. It's strange, I didn't recognize him.
Well, wherever he learned his trade, he can certainly handle Vanessa. I wonder what he's likely to do when he makes his landfall.
Put us over the side in the dinghy like Fletcher Christie.
Dinghy? Have a look astern.
Oh, what do you mean? Good grief, where is it?
When these stowaways turned up waving guns about and we were driven forward, well, I took a chance. I let the painter go.
But why? What was the point?
At the time, all I had in mind was that when our dinghy was found drifting about the harbor, it would start somebody thinking. And after that broadcast...
It's something of a long shot. How are these two going to get ashore without the dinghy?
Unless they tie up at some quayside as bold as brass, or start another police search by pinching someone else's dinghy from her moorings, they're going to need us to help them beach Vanessa in some quiet cove.
Then what?
It might turn out to be a good thing in the long run.
What do you mean?
Well, don't you see, man? The longer they need us, the longer we'll be likely to stay alive.
Better, Thelma?
A bit better. Still a bit seasick.
She's still pretty lively, but I don't think it'll get much worse. It's been back into the west and blowing hard all morning. We couldn't get better conditions for a fast crossing. What about something to eat?
Oh, no. I couldn't face food.
Well, I'm just about starving. Do you think you could take the helm again for a couple of minutes while I nip below?
But, Don, how about those two?
There hasn't been a bleat out of them for hours.
But I'm frightened.
What of?
Supposing they...
They won't do a thing. If they were to make the slightest move towards you, all you got to do is let out a yell and I'll be back on deck before they could get anywhere near the cockpit.
All right. But please, Don, be as quick as you can.
I will. But remember to keep her as she is with the wind in your right ear.
I'll try. Those two frighten me.
The lover boy's gone below and left his Thelma at the helm.
He's taken a chance in the sea. You take a glance at her. Still a bit green about the gills.
Yeah, she doesn't look very confident, does she?
No, can you blame her? Running before this wind, I'm not happy either. Needs a cool hand at the helm. Unless...
Unless what?
We might be lucky enough to catch him off balance while the wind... I've got an idea. Move towards me. But don't make the girl suspicious.
How?
Well, just come over as though you're giving me a hand to tidy up the floor deck.
But she'll be watching us all the time.
That's the idea. I want her to watch us all the time without calling Skelly. If we can hold her attention by moving about nice and quietly, working well forward, safely away from the cockpit, she might easily forget to keep an eye on what really matters, the wind.
It's a pity we're not sailing close hauled.
Close hauled?
But don't you see? We could let this halyard go with a run and drop the mainsail onto her nut. That would upset her little apple cart, all right.
Oh, so it would. George, you're a cunning old pirate. Is there any reason why we couldn't do it as she is now?
One very good reason. The sail would go overboard.
Don?
What is it?
Don?
She's calling, Scott.
Not to worry. Just carry on. Just come forward and coil that board.
Don? Don? Can you come here a minute?
Where is it?
They're up to something. I can tell by their faces.
Whatever you do, don't let them come aft. Oh, they're all right there. You can't get any mischief at the pulpit.
Are you sure? What are they doing with those ropes?
They're only messing about getting everything tidy. As long as they don't mess about with the main halyard. That one there.
That's all right for you. I've not...
I know. But you can't fix the grub because you feel sick. So if you can't take the helm for a few minutes, how do we eat?
All right. Please don't be long.
I'll be as quick as I can.
He's gone below. But I heard me. He tipped her off about the main howling. I saw him pointing out the cleat.
He's smart, this joker. George, this may be wishful thinking, but I believe she's letting the wind creep round the stern.
You're right. We're running by the lee.
The $64,000 question is whether the boyfriend will spot what's happening before it's too late.
If she does get us into a Chinese jibe, goodness knows what'll happen with this wind, the reefs.
I hate to see this, but if she looks like letting that boom swing over, I'm not going to stop her, even if it rips the flaming mast right out.
But how are you going to play it?
If she does jibe, there could be half a minute of complete chaos. If we're lucky, they'd both be sprawling on their backs with loose gear flying all over the cockpit and cabin. As long as we're braced ready for it, we ought to have a few seconds' grace to scramble aft and take over. But watch out for the boom.
How about those guns of theirs?
If either of them is still in a position to use a pistol, we'll just have to get Vanessa back on course, sort out the damage, and wait for the next chance.
Assuming there is one.
Aye. Mm. The girl moves this time, you'll never leave her alone again at the helm, that's for sure. George, I think she's going.
Oh, what a horrible thing to do to a boat.
Don! Don, quickly! I can't hold her!
What the devil are you doing?
You mustn't capsize. Get a grip, George. Right. Hold on. Pray!
I've got to pull me together first.
Here, take the boat hook. Keep your head down or the boom will break your back.
Right.
Don! Don, are you hurt?
Give away your clumsy little foolish. Let go that tiller.
Oh, watch out! They're right behind you!
What's that? I saw your chance, did you? Not quite quick enough, Killip. You're a bit old for this game.
The boat hook! Throw it!
Oh, Don! Look out!
Now then, Mr. Skelly!
I'll break your back for this, you cunning old swine!
Now we'll see about that!
Thelma! Use your gun! Use your gun!
I can't! He's hurt me!
Where'd you carry that pistol, you little monster?
Take your filthy hands off me! Don!
Don's busy!
George! I can't hold this slippery rat! He's going for his gun!
Right, another touch of the boat hook is called for. Hit tie that!
No! No, you're killing him!
I'll shoot you, fool!
Go to boom! Get down, man!
It hit Don's head! You've killed him!
He's out cold. Good, here's his pistol. Now, girl, hand over your gun.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
Don't stop that filthy noise. You'll get yourself tossed overboard now.
I've got it. In the bag. Here's her gun.
You rotten swines! That's mine! Give it back to me!
Shut up! Take her below to look after her boyfriend. She'd better swab that cut on his head.
Hope he doesn't die on us. He looks pretty groggy to me.
I reckon that swinging boom just about saved our skins. Another couple of seconds and we both have been shot.
I'll take him below and see what I can do for him. You sure you can manage up here alone?
Aye, come up as soon as you can, but right. Bring the knives out of the galley. I don't trust that wench out of my sight. Oh, my saints, what a horrible shambles. Did I say this was a torch?
What's that?
Helicopter. I wonder if it could be looking for us.
Seems to be heading in this direction.
We've got to find a way to show them what we're carrying. Bring the girl up where they can see her.
Oh, come on, Calamity. Get up them stairs. Come on.
What do you want now?
That mask you were wearing at the filling station. Get it and put it on.
You know what you can do.
Come on, come on. And George, make sure they can see her.
I thought he was going to land on the truck of the mast. Did you recognize either of them?
I think the bloke sitting alongside the pilot might have been Roy McMahon, the Coast Guard. If it was, he knows Vanessa very well. Anyway, they'll both get a clear view of the wench. Saw me waving a pistol like Captain Hook.
Shall I take her below?
No, she'll stay there out of the way. Now, George, for heaven's sake, give me a hand to clear up this horrible tangle. That chopper crew must have taken us for a shower of clumsy lubbers. I'll be ashamed to look Roy McMahon in the face.
Judging by what Roy McMahon could see from the helicopter, the deck looked in a bit of a muddle.
Muddle, Michael? Of course there'd be a muddle. There's sure to have been damage if there was a fight. Thank goodness the commander and George Brightson were all right.
Well, that's what the pilot of the chopper said, Sergeant. He said that the Vanessa had all the canvas off her. They were motoring straight for down here.
You know, one thing worries me, Michael. That report that came through kept mentioning the girl, but they said they saw no sign of the man Skelly.
Probably below, Sergeant.
I hope to heaven they haven't keelhauled him.
You know, Sergeant, I wouldn't put it past Commander Killip to throw them both overboard if they did anything to damage his precious Vanessa.
Seems they chose the wrong boat and the wrong skipper for a spot of piracy. Mind you, all those amateur sailors your way are pirates under the skin. There she is. That's the Vanessa just coming in, isn't it?
Yes, Sergeant. Well, that's the commander waving his arms. That's Commander Killip. Ahoy there, Commander.
Morning, Mr. Curran. Morning, Sergeant.
Morning, sir.
All right, George, show the line. A couple of spenders over the side. Watch out for my pigs.
He's in good form, anyway.
Come aboard, Sergeant. Come aboard.
Thank you, sir. Anybody hurt?
Well, the girl's not much the worse for wear, but the man seems to have his head on the boom, lying below on George's bunk.
Oh, all right, Michael, we'd better have a stretcher. And what happened to their guns, Commander? Navy helicopter said they saw you waving one about.
Yeah, they're here in the lazarette. Two pistols, one box of ammunition. No, those knives are from the galley.
Ah.
We didn't like to leave the lady with anything sharp in case she cut herself.
Oh, has she been given trouble?
They tried to rape me, those two. You filthy apes. I'll make you pay for this.
Isn't that your real Irish colleen? Just lovely. I pity the psychiatrist to get you on his couch. All right, my girl.
Keep your hands off me. I can walk.
Come on, then. Come and meet the head constable. Tell him all about it. He's the great man for stories.
They're sending an ambulance right away.
Oh, good. Take charge of the lady and watch out for your eyes. Are you looking for something, Mr. Brightson?
I was just remembering that broadcast.
Oh?
The raiders made their escape with a large sum of money. When we first came aboard, where did you find them?
The girl was right forward by the small locker.
Uh-huh. Here. The bag that holds the Jenny seems to be a lot heavier. Well, filthy lucre. The root of all evil.
Cool. Heavens. This would fetch us a new set of sails for every day of the year.
I'm afraid I'll have to take charge of the money, sir, much as it goes against the grain.
Oh, George, why did you have to go and dig it out while the sergeant was still here? Now you'll have to have a cut. You'll only have about 5,000 each.
And don't forget Constable Michael Curran and the head constable. He's on his way.
Before all this lovely money goes, just let me hold it for a minute, will you?
All right.
George, is that old camera of yours still in the locker?
Yes, hang on. I must say, I'd rather have a picture of you tangled up in Thelma's rigging when you were supposed to be looking for a gun.
Oh, you mutinous dog. You'll get me into trouble with the law. Now, Sergeant, you'd better be in this photograph.
Oh, all right, sir.
And we'll have you head constable yet. All right, George. You sure you've got a film in? Well, hurry up, man. What are you waiting for? Press the confounded button and let's have a bottle of beer. All this excitement makes my throat dry.
Parkeerplek ook nog vol. Verflaks.
Is dit hoe u sommige dagen voelt? Hierdie dagelijkse irritaties veroorzaak gauw zuur en slechte spijsvertering. Dis wanneer u Philips-tabletten nodig hebt. Handige Philips-tablette. So makkelijk, so gerieflik. Geen water, geen glas nie. Philips-tablette reken gauw-gauw af met slechte spysvertering.
It's great with the hood down, but I'm afraid the wind's ruined your hair.
It's not my hair I'm worried about, it's my eyes. They're full of dust and grit.
You know that feeling when your eyes have taken a beating? They feel sore and tired, and they look the way they feel. But just 2 drops of Insto, and in seconds your eyes feel wonderfully cool and refreshed. Don't take your precious eyes for granted. Protect them with Insto Eye Drops.
Quiet! You should go and see a doctor.
You can't take every cough to a doctor, but you can take Stern's Pine Tar and Honey. Stern's Pine Tar and Honey is a scientific blend of the finest natural ingredients which brings soothing relief to troublesome and disturbing coughs. Stern's Pine Tar and Honey, made like a doctor's prescription.
Hope you've enjoyed tonight's play. Be sure to tune in next week for another theater date with the great in Playhouse 90, brought to you for your listening pleasure from the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, by your hosts, the makers of Philips Tablets and Stern's Pine Tar and Honey. So until next Wednesday's Playhouse 90, a very good night to you all.